So the way it works is that if I take 15 minutes, he only gets 5. we've been thinking about this sort of thing for 9 years. And a few years ago, not 9 years ago, probably about 7 years ago, I kind of thought, well, look, you know, I ought to go into Falmouth one day and just kind of, because we've been told that God's going to do something in Falmouth, so I better go into Falmouth and maybe God will give me some spectacular word, a prophetic word for what he's going to do in Falmouth and sort of that will really shape something really clever that I can share with the church. And I parked the car up at the top of the hill and walked down. It was near the cinema in Falmouth. And all he said, I was wanting something really clever, but all he said was, this is what I think about this town. Whoa, I just fell apart at that particular moment. Like, he just shared something of his heart with my... It was like a tiny little... Like, he opened a little window, and he said, this is what I think about this place and the people in this town. And I'm walking down the high street. There's people coming... I mean, not the high street, there's a road, and the pavement, and there's people coming the other way. And I am weeping for 15 seconds, and then he sort of closed the window. It was like, whoa, flip, like this. It was like, oh, is that what he thinks about this place? You know... Jesus loves Falmouth. Jesus, who we've been singing about, really loves the people of Falmouth. Actually, Jesus has always loved people. He loves to encounter people, and he loves to change their lives. He did it when he walked on the earth, and the amazing thing is that Jesus does it today. Perhaps you kind of walked in here this morning and you don't know what you're here for, but you know what? I've got a sneaking suspicion Jesus wants to encounter you. Whether you've kind of known him for a long time or maybe you don't even know him at all right now, Jesus wants to encounter you. Maybe he'll encounter you in a different way than someone else in the room. Maybe some of you will encounter him where he actually brings some physical healing to your body today. You may have walked in here, maybe a Christian following Jesus, you might not be a Christian, and you are sick, physically sick. Jesus wants to encounter you, and he can actually heal you, and that'll be the encounter you have with him. Maybe some of you are just weighed down by things that you've done wrong, and what you really need right now is someone to show you forgiveness and mercy. Jesus could encounter you by giving you mercy and forgiveness this morning. Some of you might have walked in here and you desperately need some direction in your life, or maybe some of you really need some comfort. He can give you direction, or maybe you'll encounter him and get his comfort, his wonderful comfort. You've come to the right place to encounter Jesus because Jesus loves to be amongst his people. And actually, I'm saying this because I don't think it's planned, but, you know, if you want to encounter Jesus, I don't know how he's going to do it. I mean, we're not going to prescribe. I mean, he just does what he does, doesn't he? I mean, it's his agenda. But maybe if you want to encounter Jesus in a particular way, at the end, right at the end, when all the other stuff's going on and Andrew's only got his 2 minutes, we just get some prayer at the end. You know, maybe you just say, look, you go to somebody you know and say, look, please, I need help. Can you pray for me? That's a really brilliant way that God might actually want to encounter you this morning. If you want proof that Jesus wants to encounter you, read the Gospels. I mean, I've been reading Matthew's Gospel recently. I'm going to actually preach from Matthew 9, a little couple of verses in a while. But, you know, you read the bit before that. Matthew 8. Jesus is encountered by a leper, someone with leprosy. And this leper comes and he kneels before Jesus and he asks him, will you heal me? And Jesus stretches out his hand, just touches him. And it says in chapter 8, verse 1, Matthew records, he was immediately healed. Or 5 verses later, in verse 5, a Roman centurion, he's pleading with Jesus that he might heal his paralyzed servant. And with one commanding word, Jesus isn't even in present with the guy, the man is healed. In verse 14, Peter's mother-in-law was sick with fever. Jesus just touches her hand and she's instantly healed. In verse 16 of chapter 8, it records how many demon-oppressed and sick people come to Jesus, this wonderful man, and he casts out the spirit with just a word, and he heals all who were sick. In verse 28, two demon-oppressed men come at him like throwing themselves in his direction, and he just says, go, and all the demons flee. Jesus has such authority. Whatever you've got, whatever you need, Jesus is bigger than it. Whatever you've come into here carrying, Jesus can carry it. Because he's that sort of God. He's amazing. A paralyzed man in chapter 9 is brought to Jesus. Jesus just says, rise, pick up your bed and go home. What? He does. He rises, he picks up his bed and he goes home. Encounter with Jesus. Then Matthew, the one who's writing this, records his own encounter with Jesus. He doesn't say, oh, this is me, by the way. He just says there was a tax collector called Matthew. And he encounters Jesus. And Jesus just says to this tax collector, Matthew, who then obviously wrote the Gospels, he just said, follow me. Radically, his life was changed from that moment. One encounter with Jesus changes everything. It says, and Matthew himself records, many tax collectors and sinners came to Jesus. Jesus didn't look down on them, though everybody else did, particularly the religious people. He welcomed them and he even ate with them. And he got a lot of flack from the religious people for it, because they thought that was the sort of thing a religious man should not hang out with, those sorts of ruffians and all sorts. Then there was a woman who had a kind of blood flow that she'd had illness for like 12 years. She even just touches Jesus's cloak and it's immediately healed. And then a ruler's daughter dies. Jesus turns up at this 12-year-old's little house. He takes her by the hand and the dead girl rises. Two blind people in verse 27 of chapter 9 come to Jesus. And he opens their eyes. And then a demon-oppressed man who's mute is set free by Jesus, and he starts to speak. And then we get to Matthew 9:35. And I'm going to read this to you and just bring out a couple of points from it, which I think will help us. Then Jesus... This is Jesus, the one who loves to encounter people then and likes to encounter people today in this room. Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in the synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion. He was moved with compassion for them. Because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. And then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. And when he had called his 12 disciples to him, he gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease. These 12, it says in verse 5 of chapter 10, these 12 Jesus sent out, instructing them, go nowhere among the Gentiles and enter no town of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel and proclaim as you go, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Today, we are sending a small band off to start a church in Falmouth. It's a big deal. As a group and family of churches, this kind of thing doesn't happen very often. So it's a really big deal. Though, wouldn't it be great if at some point in the future, we kind of did this thing like every year? So we were sending people off to start churches every year. I think we could see that. Maybe, you know, I've been around here for 17 years. In the next 10 years, could we get to that? I don't know. I'm not putting timescales on this. God could do it. Why are we doing this? What motivates us to send 20 people off to Falmouth today? Matthew records Jesus saw the crowds and he was moved with compassion. Jesus is moved with compassion for the people of Falmouth today. And some of you need to know that he is moved with compassion for you. You matter to Jesus. Do you know what the word that in the Greek that is there to describe is translated as moved with compassion? It's this weird word called splagnismai. And you know what it means, splagnismai? It means to have your bowels yearn. It means to have a gut-wrenching passion for people and situations. To ache with passion. Jesus aches with passion for the multitudes. Because, verse 36 says, they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. Sheep need a shepherd. One of the most famous passages in the Bible, whether you're kind of acquainted with sort of the Bible and all that kind of stuff, you probably, everybody knows that perhaps the most famous passage in the Bible, I am the good shepherd. Oh no, the Lord is the shepherd, I shall not want. Psalm 23. And then Jesus comes along many years later and says, I'm that good shepherd. Falmouth is full of sheep without a shepherd. Like those in Matthew 9, they are weary and scattered. Or you could translate that, they were harassed and helpless. The actual last word is actually they were thrown down and oppressed. How does Jesus respond in this sort of situation? Well, he does three things. He chooses 12 people. He then instructs them to pray for more workers. And then he sends them. He sends them. And that is precisely what he's doing today. Jesus loved to encounter people when he walked on the earth. He still loves to encounter people through his body, the church. Now, many of Matthew's readers were farmers. They knew about sheep and shepherds and all that kind of stuff. But then Jesus turns the imagery into an arable farming thing. And he says, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. For Jesus, that's a desperate situation. People desperately lost, harvest desperately ripe. So he chooses 12. And he gives them authority, power over unclean spirits, to cast them out, to heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease. And he sends them to the lost sheep. He sends them to spread the good news of his kingdom. People without Jesus, and maybe there's some in this room, Jesus isn't want to point a finger and saying, you dreadful lot, why don't you come like all the rest of you, these people who are Christians? You know, Jesus wants to just show his compassion to you and show his love to you. And he wants to be your shepherd. Jesus is responding to the plight of people in Falmouth in part by telling us to send a team there. That's the facts. That's what we are doing here. We are motivated by Jesus' compassion. He started, as Andrew said, speaking to us about this 9 years ago in 2008. And he's been preparing us for this significant point ever since. This is his idea, not ours. It's costly. It's, of course it's costly. It's costly in finance. It's going to mean a strain for the guys at Grace Church in terms of resources. You know, you're going to have less workers in Truro. You're going to miss some people who are going to go off and spend more time in Falmouth than they are here. You're also going to lose two keyboardists, a drummer, and then your entire complement of banjo players. Welcome to Apostolic Church. Apostolic means you have to send. The word apostle means send. We are an apostolic movement. Therefore, we are going to have to send. It's going to be hard. That's what it's about. Or we could just think small and think that's just not very convenient. Thank you very much. The cost could cause some of you to be reluctant. You know, the Falmouth team, it's a grace thing. But you know, it's not just a grace thing. Yes, it's overseen by the grace elders, but you know what? It's not just a grace thing. Some of you are from Blaze. Actually, you have a massive investment in this. You have massively invested in this. In fact, you invested to get this thing in Truro going a few years ago. And now you're sending an ode, you're involved in the whole sending into Falmouth. In fact, the people who are going to be leading it initially were in your church as well. See, you have already paid a big price for this day. But also, it's not just about Blaze and Grace, it's also about you guys in King's Arms. You guys are involved. It's so good that you are here. Because this is something you are doing. We are doing, all of us are doing, and you will see the fruit in the future. Three things I want to say to all of us who send. Remember, we're all, everybody who's a believer in this room is sent by Jesus. Wherever you are, whether you're in, I'm not going to say too much because I think I'll steal your thunder. I think you might say something about this. But every single one of us has been sent to where you are right now. Truro, you've been sent to Truro. Newquay, you've been sent to Newquay. Camborne, you've been sent to Camborne. Falmouth, you've been sent to Falmouth. And you've been given authority by Jesus to preach the gospel, to heal the sick and cast out demons. Actually, that's what you've been called to. You are involved in the same ministry. It's just scaled up a bit. That Jesus was doing. The second thing I would say to you who send, pray earnestly for workers. You're going to lose people. Those guys in Grace Church. Well, Jesus says to the people he's sending, pray earnestly for workers. Blaze Church, do you need more workers? Pray earnestly for workers. Not just for Falmouth, but for you. King's Arms, you need more workers. The massive, massive needs of Camborne. Jesus is saying, come on, get on your knees and pray earnestly for workers. And the last thing I'd say for those of us who send with joy, not reluctantly. Let Jesus' splagnissimi heart be the reason you send, because you're thinking about the weary and the scattered sheep down the road. And there is a reward coming for you. I mean, Bo, where are you? Stand up, Bo. I'm sorry I'm going to embarrass you, but you're capable. You can handle it. Those of you from Blaze Church who sent the guys many years ago, 6 or 7 years ago, off to start this church, you guys from Blaze, you didn't know, but there was going to be a guy who was going to be a student called Bo, and he was going to become a Christian. He was one of the first people to become a Christian in Grace Church when this started 6 or 7 years ago. So like Bo, because you sent a load over here, like Andrew and a load of guys over and girls a few years ago, this guy's now a follower of Jesus. His life's been radically changed. He's met the shepherd. He's got a shepherd now. And what's amazing, what is really amazing, Blaze guys, think about this. He's one of the leaders who's going over to Falmouth to start Grandchild Church. And you know what? There's going to be more Christians down there who get saved in Falmouth. And they're going to be like your grandkids or your great-grandkids. You know, I mean, it's just going to get bigger and bigger and bigger. It's a family thing. It's massive. Blaze, be encouraged. He's a lovely guy. Get to know him because he's your grandkid. Blaze, you have many grandkids. You're going to see a heck of a lot more. These things that I'm going to finish, which would say to you Falmouth crew, of which actually I am one of them for a bit anyway, at least. Remember, Falmouth crew, you're sent primarily by Jesus. I mean, that makes a big difference. I mean, it's great to be sent by Grace Church, but and the guys in sort of King's Arms and Blaze, but you know, you're really sent by him. That makes a massive difference. And you have authority. I mean, you actually have authority over sickness. So if you meet someone in Falmouth who's sick, why don't you offer to pray for them? With Jesus' authority that's been given to you. And if you meet all sorts of situations, Jesus gives you authority to deal with it. I mean, this is a big deal. You're sent by the man who we've just been singing about. It's huge. He sends you. The second thing I would say to you, get ready for hard work. Have you ever worked on a farm at harvest time? Hands up who's ever worked on a farm at harvest time. A few of you. I did one summer. By the end of the summer, I was so buff. I'm not joking. You might not believe it, but it was before I met Deb. She still went out with me, but frankly, I just... It's hard work. And then the last thing, and this is so, so important. Don't go for the sheep who've already got a shepherd in Falmouth. Go for the sheep who haven't got a shepherd. You can plant churches and start churches and just recruit a lot of Christians. Frankly, I'm not interested in that. And do you know what? I don't think Jesus is either, because he's thinking about the sheep without a shepherd. We are not there to rearrange the pack. So I'm going to end. And I'm going to read this verse from Romans 10, and then I'm going to pray. And note Paul's four progressive questions. How will they call on him? That's Jesus. How will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how will they to believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? Let's pray. Jesus, there's no one like you. You, those of us in this room, who you've got hold of our lives, you've just radically changed our lives. We know it's because you were moved with compassion for us. How amazing is this that we now know the Good Shepherd? Life's tough, but you're the Shepherd. That makes every difference to our lives. It has made every difference to our lives. And we love that, that you were moved with compassion for us. We thank you that your heart extends beyond us too. And to such an extent that you are sending us to a new place. May we be motivated, every single one of us, at King's Arms, at Blaze, at Grace and Falmouth, by your magnificent, massive, gut-wrenching heart for the lost. Amen.
Thanks so much, Jem. I'm particularly grieved by the loss of 100% of our banjo players. And Anne's volunteering to pick up the banjo, everybody. That could be quite something. Jem, your timekeeping is rubbish. All my time is gone. So we're changing the plan. Let me just draw out some of the points that Jem's already made. Firstly, this is Jesus' idea that this church plant vision for Falmouth, yeah, it's owned by us, it's owned by all of us, but more than anything, it's owned by Jesus, and we're caught up in what he is doing. Secondly, we're in this together, we're in this as a family of churches. We all feel a stake in this. In a few moments, when the Falmouth team comes up at the front and we want to express something about, yes, we're championing what it is you're involved in. Actually, we're all joining in with that, aren't we? And we've got three congregations in the room this morning. We've got Grace Church, Truro. We've got Blaze Church Newquay, we've got King's Arms Church Campbell. We're also joined by dear friends from Plymouth, John and Carol, with us, who've been walking with us for many years. We've got friends from Torquay who are with us this morning as well. And this, we all feel we have a stake in this. It's such a thrilling moment where we're saying, look, we're sending you, it's not just Grace Church Truro sending out this team with a few others spectating, but actually we corporately are sending you out in the name of Jesus. And the third thing is, we're all sent. It's easy in these moments for us to think, well, this Falmouth team is sent off to do something amazing for God and pioneer something that's really exciting. But here I am, stuck, left behind, stuck where I am, and all of us. My prayer is that all of us this morning would hear Jesus' commission being given to us about our lives and our contexts. And in a few moments, this is what we're going to be doing in the next part of the meeting. We're going to have the Falmouth team up the front, and then we're going to pray for them. I'll talk about how we're going to do that in just a moment. And then immediately following that, we're going to stand and we're going to commission the Falmouth team. And we're going to do that by bringing a series of charges to the Falmouth team. They're going to come up on the screen. We're going to read them out together, which is a great moment of us recognizing we're in this together. But as we're bringing those charges to the Falmouth team, I would love for each and every one of us, just within our own hearts, to reflect on how those charges relate to us as well. That even as we're sending them out to go and be on mission with Jesus in Falmouth, let's all of us be receptive of the fact that Jesus is at this moment commissioning each and every one of us to be on mission with him where we are. So let's have the Falmouth team come and join us, or come and join me at the front now, shall we? So let's give them a round of applause, shall we, as they come and join me.